God resisteth the what? The proud. So if you have no humility, if you think you know it all, if you don't think you need help, if you're not willing to take advice, if you're not willing to take suggestion, you're proud. That's what pride does. Humility, though, the Bible here says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the what? The humble. Those of us that can submit to the authority of God. Children, what does the Bible say in Ephesians 6:1? For this is right. So if I want to submit, young people, to God's authority, I must submit to my parental what? Authority, right? Okay, we're all right? All right. So what is that, Pastor? You mean if mom and dad tells you, go make your bed, go clean your room, go pick up your laundry, go, you know, make dad some eggs and sausage with 6 tortillas, amen? You know, all of this stuff, right? You say, Pastor, you have slaves. No, here's the thing, right? As parents, we try to instill this work ethic in our children. And we're trying to help them avoid having this entitled attitude in life. And the only way they receive that is when we spoil them, when we don't tell them no, when we just let them do whatever they want to do. But understand, they're children. We're not trying to raise good children. We're trying to raise what? Adults. Functioning adults. That when they're able-bodied to go to work, adults that go to work, that provide for their family adults, that protect their family adults. Not that cry, whine, and to get their way adults. Amen? You say, Pastor, where are you going with that? Well, that spirit of entitlement is connected to pride. And I don't want to enable our children as a church family. Yes, do I want to build confidence in them? Yes. But confidence in the right things, in the correct things. Whenever they do something right, I want to encourage them. Whenever I see them singing in church, hey, great job singing in church. Right? Not pouting. Oh, look how cute you are. He's a pouty. Look at the poochy lip. That's not going to do anything for an adult in society. How many of you can go to your boss and go? You're laughing at me because that's ridiculous. That's not real. Amen? An employer tells you, hey, you need to show up 10 minutes early. Is that going to work? He said, Pastor, that's ridiculous. I know. I know. We don't want to raise our kids and enable bad behavior. Pride will say, oh, you know what, Pastor, you're just old, or the Bible is just not relevant to our day and age. Discipline and training up, that's just old-fashioned. It's not trending right now. I don't know what terminology to use, but that don't make the mistake of thinking because your parents were born in a different generation that they don't know what they're saying or they don't know what they're talking about. Just because the iPad wasn't invented during their generation doesn't mean they don't have access to knowledge back then. If anything, they were a little bit more wiser. Amen? They actually think for themselves. They don't have brain rot. They think. Amen? So you're like, oh, yeah, Pastor, you're just against social media. No, listen, if you do too much of it, yes. If you prioritize that over things that are going to actually help you, yes, I'm against it then, because there's dangers to it. But if you don't prioritize that over your family, if you don't prioritize that over skill sets, if you don't prioritize that over moral values, if you don't prioritize that definitely over God, I'm not against it. I use it. But in moderation. I know that's not my all in all, right? Because pride, what happens, it exalteth itself, and we think we know better, we're smarter, you can't tell me what to do. But God says in James 4, God resisteth the what? But giveth grace unto the what? Here's my first point I'd like to share with you. If you're still with me, say amen. Pride makes us think more highly of ourselves than we should. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more what? Highly than he ought to think. Pastor Rivera should not think he is the pastor of pastors. Amen. I would never say that. I would never, hopefully, amen. I'm in my right mind, Brother Jeremiah. Hopefully I don't lose it. But short-term memory, amen. I will never in my heart of hearts and my mind ever have this intention of ever saying, hey, I know what I'm saying. Keep your mouth shut. Listen to me. No, that's a proud pastor, just so you understand, okay? I would never say that in this sense. The only reason I would say that is because I'm in the flesh, okay? And instead of preaching the word of God, I'm giving you my preference. And I'm so proud, I'm not willing to listen to you. That's not the pastor I want to be, okay? So the Bible is warning me not to think of myself more highly than I should or ought to, but to think what? Soberly. Think with the right mind. Not like something that's under the influence of something else. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of what? Faith. I know the things and experiences that I've had in my life on depending on God to get me out through certain circumstances, to get me where I'm at in life. I understand that. That's my faith, my journey of faith. You have your journey of faith, and guess what? You know some things I don't know. It would be foolish of me to stand here and say I know everything. That's thinking more highly of myself than I ought to. Here you go. Let me give you one, and I hope you can take it. Ditto. I might have been through things that you might not know. I might know certain things that you might not know. Be willing to take that advice too. Because at the end of the day, it goes both ways. Husbands, it's okay not to be right every time. I know, it happens. But if we think that women are below us, which they're not, they're next to us, amen? Some of the greatest revivals that I know and greatest men that have influenced our country in a spiritual way and also in the worldly way as leaders have been raised by great mamas, great ladies. And most of them have had great wives that have helped them reach that accomplishment. It would be foolish of us to think, I'm man, you woman. No. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. Here's the thing. It's okay to say, hey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Why not? And ladies, vice versa. Amen? It's okay to realize, hey, he just might have a point. Amen? Maybe one. Give us one point. Amen? He just might have a point. I might be looking at this the wrong way. Is that fair? Unless we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Because that's pride. Pride will get us in this mindset of being influenced by our pride, and our pride will blindfold our thinking. I want you to understand, Paul here is writing to believers in Rome about serving God, about functioning in the body of Christ, in the church. And before discussing spiritual gifts, when you read this passage, before discussing service, he warns them against pride. I love the book of James. The book of James is a good book for any Christian to read. If you want to know what a Christian's about and what we should do, read the book of James. It's an amazing book. But here's the thing. The danger of pride, what it does, it distorts our vision. It distorts our thinking. It distorts our reality. What is right? What is right in front of us? And I want us to understand that pride sometimes causes us to, here's the thing, overestimate our importance and underestimate our weakness. I told you, and people get offended by this, I'm not putting myself down. I'm just realizing when I look at things toward the God's lens, God's perspective, I know who I'm not. Amen? I know who he is. I know my condition. I know how much I need him. I'm not putting myself down when I say this. Some of you say, Pastor, you need to stop putting yourself down. It's true. I had to learn to get over myself. I don't know how else to explain it. What do you mean? If I mess up and I'm not the greatest preacher, it's okay. I'm not going to be embarrassed. Now, I want to do better. But I won't get embarrassed to the point where I'm going to say, I quit. No, I have to get over myself and realize, okay, I messed up here. Why? Okay, I didn't put enough time into that topic. Okay, I didn't study enough time. I didn't get enough verses. That's how it's supposed to function. This is how we're supposed to think. When we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, we start realizing, hey, I don't know the word of God. I need his help. Maybe I didn't spend enough time with God this week. Does that make sense? That's what I mean, getting over myself. Like, we're going to get to a place, my friends, that we need to get over ourselves. You say, Pastor, why? Because the danger of pride, again, is going to cause people to overestimate our importance. And what we're going to overlook is our weaknesses. Husbands, some of us are not good at listening. Amen? Parents, sometimes some of us are not good at giving instruction. Good instruction. And that's okay. Amen? That's okay. We're not going to be 100%. That's why we need God. That's why we need God. And a proud person, this is what they do. They stop evaluating themselves honestly. They know everybody else's faults except their own. That's a proud person. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12 says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit?" Someone that knows it all? "There is more hope of a what? Than of him." Someone that believes nobody can help them, or that they have arrived spiritually, or they have arrived in a certain area in their life, they know more than others. They might be smarter, but come on. You don't know everything. There's more chance of a dummy than you. Because at least that dummy sees itself clearly. You don't. You don't see your weaknesses. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 says this, "For if a man think himself to be something, when he is what? Nothing. He deceiveth what?" You're in denial. And that's not the river in Egypt, amen? You're in denial. You are in a place where you can't see clearly because you're lying to yourself. And parents, can I tell you something? If you look at your children and they're not turning out, guess what? It's okay. If they're not turning out, guess what? You can't blame anybody else. I understand children have free will. But at the end of the day, where does the buck stop? With the parent. I can't blame my children how they turn out. And here's the thing, on their mama. I'm the man of the house. But their mama can't blame it on me. She needs to do her part too and take some accountability. You're the mama. You're the guide of the house. What were you doing? You understand what I'm talking about? I'm not trying to shift the blame. I'm trying to explain something to you. If you don't show up in the spiritual destination God has in store for you, you can't blame the pastor. You have your own walk with God. You have your own prayer life. You know the songs. You need to memorize your Bible too and be held accountable for your actions. Amen? The same way pastor can't blame the church. I need to spend time with God. I need to get right with God. If there are any issues in my life, I need to make sure I'm close to God. Because I am the ordained, right, authority in the church. I am the under-shepherd. And I'm supposed to be close to God. I can't blame you. Does that make sense? That's what that is. That's called humility. That's not called proud. But when a person says, "Now it's not my fault," that's called pride. When a person is not willing to admit their own fault, that's pride. Pastor, are you upset? I'm not. I'm just trying to help us to avoid making bad decisions. And pride is what brings man down. That's what brought Satan, casted him out of heaven. Adonijah, the son of David, we preached on this on Thursday. He exalted himself. He wanted the throne of David, but it was not part of God's plan. He wanted his plan instead of God's plan. Is that what we want? No. I'd rather have God's plan in my life. I'd rather have God's marriage in my life. I'd rather have marry the woman God intended in my life. And I love my wife. The children that I have, I'd rather have God's children than in my life. I'd rather have God's church, God's people in my life. It's that simple. And you know what it is? Submitting to God's authority. That's it. I'm not your boss. You understand that? Who's your boss? God. We have a leadership team here at Victory Baptist. I'm not their boss. I made him sign a contract, praise the Lord, so I could sue him. No, I'm joking. I made him sign a contract. Why? Because they're putting their name on, hey, I submit. In case they didn't know, now y'all know. I submit to your expectations. They're not wrong expectations. My preference is probably. But they're not bad. They read them. Guess what? I can hold that piece of paper, Ms. Carla, and go, remember what you signed? That's about it, though. You can ask them. I don't bug them when they're on vacation. When if I do, I'm sorry. I probably did a couple of them. But I don't bug them when they're on vacation. I don't bug the Sunday school teachers when they go do things. I'm not a micromanager. You understand that? Because I realize this. I'd rather have people that submit to the authority of God. If they're submitting to the authority of God, we can't go wrong. We can't go wrong. Are you listening? We can't go wrong. If they say, hey, pastor, I just need a vacay with my family and praise the Lord, just let me know. Don't leave me hanging. But praise the Lord, I'm not going to interfere with what they have going on in their family, in their marriages, because part of God's will is that family. You know, proud people lose their families. Proud people lose their marriages. Proud people lose their children because they're not willing to submit to the God authority in their life or godly authority in their life. Imagine a businessman who has experienced success, starts out well, but then eventually because that success is so great, it gets in their head, whether it's a man or a woman, and then eventually they start not listening to their employers. They stop listening to their mentors. They stop listening to their pastor. Eventually, guess what happens? They lose sight of the goal. That business was there to provide a livelihood. Instead, their goal started to be make more money. Well, you created more debt, because in case you know how business works, it's different. Here's the reality, folks. I want us to understand, eventually, we make a series of poor decisions. It's just like this business person probably can't see clearly. Spiritually, we need to make sure that we're submitting to God's plan. Pastor, why? Our downfall does not begin with a choice. It doesn't. It begins with pride. Lucifer, the most beautiful archangel, right? Archangel, cherubim, archangel. Great creation. God made him. And in Ezekiel, if you read it, it talks about something with music influence, right? His pipes and things of that nature. So maybe many scholars think that he was in charge of the music in heaven. Here's the thing. He was so beautiful that he was able to influence a third of the angels in heaven. But he didn't want what God had given him. He wanted more. He wanted to exalt himself like Adonijah, the son of David, even though there was already a chosen one, Solomon, to take over that. Adonijah didn't care about that. He wanted his own throne. Satan did the same thing. He wanted his own throne. You know what that's called? Pride. Stop looking at what other people might have. Stop looking at what other families might have. Stop looking at what other marriages might have. Stop looking at what other churches might have. Appreciate what God is giving you. And submit to it. And where God has you, grow it. Grow it. One of the most dangerous days in our life is the day that you and I stop believing that we need advice. Here's the second point. Pride causes us to resist authority. Isaiah 14:13. For thou hast said in thine heart, who's this? Who's it talking about? Satan. I will ascend into heaven. What did he say in his heart? I will ascend. In other words, hey, God, I know you've put me here, Father, but you know what I want? I want it all. Be careful. Ambition is not bad necessarily. It's bad when it becomes priority number one. Then that becomes wrong. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Continue. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the what? Satan didn't just want to be number two. He wanted to be number one. Folks, if you have a Sunday school teacher, students, can you listen to me? You don't have to be number one, okay? Your Sunday school teacher also understands they're trying to point you to number one so you can have him in your life. Amen? Wives, you don't have to be number one. It's okay to be number two. Why is number two bad? It's almost like these LeBron fans that are in denial. Michael Jordan is number one, okay? LaFlop is number two. Nothing wrong with number two. Nothing wrong with number two. Why is that so wrong? You can't beat the first, right? Okay, let me switch it from basketball. I already lost about two of you, the LeBron fans. Here's the truth, though. There are going to be times in our lives, and I don't know if you remember this, but I've said it over and over again. When I was in Huntington, West Virginia, man, I had the job. Why? Because I didn't have the responsibility as the number one. Why did you think I didn't want the position? I never wanted it. And the irony is God gave it to me, amen? Tyler, anybody came to me, a parent was disgruntled, anybody was upset, a man was upset, guess what I did? It's very simple. Yes, sir, I understand, I listen to you. Here, you wanna see, go straight there, down the hallway, to your left, there's the pastor's office. That's all I had to do. Pastor, you didn't have to deal with the problems? Nope, I wasn't the pastor. Thank you, sir, appreciate it. Yeah, amen. I had the best job. And listen, I'm okay with being number two. If you want to make me number three, I'm okay with that. I am okay. I will be a great number two as the pastor there. Here's the thing. I didn't want the number one spot. But you have to get to this place, folks, that it's okay with what God gives you. If it's not the position of authority, it's okay. The office that God gives you in leadership, because why are you not focused on making that, enlarging your coast? Why are you not focused on enlarging your position that where you're at right now? Don't let pride take that away from you. That's what happened to Satan. He was not happy with being number two. He said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This sin is what brought Satan down. Or Lucifer to become Satan. Is there another? No, that's 14? Okay. So Satan was not satisfied with the position that God gave him, right? Let's continue Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh what? If we're arguing and we're fighting constantly, children, can I tell you something? It's only by pride. Spouses, it's only by pride. Church members, it's only by pride. A good example would be if we, once we start this building project, and then we're arguing about the color of the carpet. Folks, I'm gonna try to do what's best for the church, and I'm gonna tell you something. I will try to be as frugal as possible with it because I do want it first class. I don't want it cheap, but I do want it first class. And here's the thing: we're gonna try to take care of it, right? We're gonna try to take care of it. But if we're fighting over the color of the carpet, we're doing something wrong. Amen? The color of the walls, I promise you it won't be pink or purple, okay? But, I mean, come on. I mean, if we're going to be fighting over things like that, might as well not build. Amen? Amen. There's no point in little things like that. Only by pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised is what? Wisdom. Next verse. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the what? Rule over you. Children, who has the rule over you at home? Your parents. That's your very first, number one authority, God's authority in your life. Who has the authority over you at the church? Harmony. The pastor, and next? God, good job. God has it at home too. But who else? Amen. Sunday school teachers, leadership team, your mom, okay. All right, look, and submit yourselves. It says not only that, not only obey, but it says what? Submit? What does that mean? I'm going to push my desires to the side, and I'm going to go ahead and obey your desires. That means I'm going to obey your preference, if that's what you're saying we do. That's what that is, submit. That's what this is. We don't like doing that, right? You don't tell me what to do. If I tell somebody don't exit out those doors, guess what? If I told myself that, guess what I would do? rebel, and I would go out through those doors. It's just by nature we do that. Sometimes we don't see it. It's disguised. But I'm going to tell you, okay, submit. If you want to get the definition, you can Google it. But I'm telling you, it says, submit yourselves, for they watch for your what? That's the context of this submission. Who are they? Who are they? Who are they? The leadership, those who have the rule over you. That's they, right? And they that must give what? An account. Who's going to give an account? Them that have the rule over you. And they may do it with what? Joy. Hey, young people, when you go to Sunday school class, if your teacher says, all right, no talking, when the teacher's talking, you listen. Now, you can't find that exact word for word, but you can find it in the Bible. You say, Pastor, where? Right here. Obey them that have the rule over you. If your Sunday school teacher says, when I speak, you listen, is that bad? No, it's in the borders of doing right. Amen? Why? Man, let them do it with joy. Let them have a good time when they're teaching you. Amen? And not with grief, for that is what? This is the reason why. If your Sunday school teacher is dreading going to Sunday school to teach you because you're going to be swinging off the chandelier. We don't have one. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you're going to be swinging back and forth, or you're going to be making noises, amen, in class that are not normal noises. Amen. And you don't want them to have this, I guess, attitude of, oh, man, I can't go to that class. I can't show up today because this student gives me the hardest time. You know why? Because it won't be profitable to you. In other words, it won't be valuable to you. They're going to be more concerned of, let me avoid this kid. They won't influence you. They won't take the time to invest in you. You know who are the kids that actually get the most investment? The ones that want to be there. The ones that want to listen. It's just how it works, folks. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the what? In the what? In the what? Fear of God. I'm going to say this. What pride produces is this. It fights the authority. It fights the authority of God. Pride, what it produces in your heart, it fights the authority of the Bible. Pride fights the authority of the leadership. Pride fights the authority of the marital authority, the workplace authority. Humility understands this, that submission is not weakness, but it's strength under control. That's what submission is, right? So I know I can do whatever I want to do. I'm an adult. I don't get in trouble. But because God has put you in an authority position, I'm going to submit to that. That's strength under control. People that are proud are weak and don't realize it because, I don't need to do it that way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it partially that way and then do it my way. Spiritually, my friend, that's what you're going to produce, a rebellious generation. I mentioned earlier on the leadership team, and I'll name them out. They're not in trouble or anything like that. They can't get in trouble. They're adults. Amen. I appreciate it. But I want to name them out just to hold them accountable. Brother Zach Long, Miss Yahida Long, they're the youth pastor and the youth pastor wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate them. They work with me. And if honestly, to be honest with you, we have a great youth pastor, youth pastor wife. They really work with me. But there's some things I ask him to do or I ask her to do. Guess what? They probably might not agree with it. They never let me know. You know what they do? They say, okay, pastor. Now, if they can't, they'll let me know. But that's what we do. We work together. Right? He's the leader over the youth ministry. Brother Colin, Ms. Valerie, I'm glad, you know, they're here. They're the leaders over the junior church ministry, the children's ministry, right? The junior church for Sundays. I've asked them to do things, and I'm not saying you have to do what I say, but they understand we're pulling all in the same place. You follow me? These are young couples, and I appreciate them. We don't have a problem with that because here's the thing. We all understand that we're in the service for who? God. And we're all in the service, and it should benefit not my interest, not their interest, but the interest of who? The church. What's best for the church? The other ones, Brother Benjamin, Miss Amber, they are in charge of the children's ministry on the weekdays, midweek. You know, they're going to be working on Awanas and things like that. I've asked them to do things, and I appreciate it. They do it. And sometimes, I'm human, amen. I do have a life, amen, outside of church, amen. Sometimes I can't get information to them. They're patient with me. They all have experienced this with me. And I appreciate their patience. But here's the thing. We're all pulling on the same accord, right? The same direction. Brother Jeremiah, Miss Sarah, they are overseeing the outreach ministry for the church. Again, I might do things that they don't like or they don't agree, but they don't voice it. You know, they probably go home and criticize me, but they don't voice it to my face. Amen. I appreciate you. No, I'm joking. Hey, do they do that? No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Don't tell me. Amen. But here's the thing. I work well with them because of that. We understand we're on the same page. Now, there's sometimes some results, you know, that I might not be happy about. It doesn't matter, folks. It doesn't matter my emotions or my feelings. I'm thankful to God. Brother Jeremiah still did what he had to do yesterday, and Miss Sarah. And listen, folks, when we have an outreach thing, it would be good for you to be a part of it and participate. Amen. We do this not just for our benefit, but for everyone, the church. Amen. We've had it on the other end. And I appreciate the investment. I appreciate the past ministry. But when an individual is so proud that they can't take accountability for their actions, when an individual is so proud they can't take correction, when an individual is so proud that they can't admit the wrong, I'm sorry, you can't be part of the leadership team. You could be part of Victory Baptist Church, but you can't be part of the leadership team. Why, Pastor? We have to do what you say? No, 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 no. Understand this. As far as the ordained authority in the church, right? The pastor is it, right? I am not God. I am doing what I believe God wants us to do as a church. But in order for this to work, I can't have the leadership team going one direction, going the other direction, going the other direction while we're trying to go this direction. You follow me? What does that create? Chaos. Contention. Right? We all need to be in the same accord, right? And we need to be pulling one direction. What's that? Not my direction. I'm trying to be as close to God as possible. Follow me? We're trying to go the Lord's direction. I'm just the under shepherd. It's not going to work well if they say, well, Pastor, I just don't agree with this and this and that. You can state your differences. I'm okay with that. We can agreeably disagree. Is that fair? What we can't do is create division. What we can't do is keep these kids in confusion, because the kids are going to be like, well, Pastor said this, but you're telling us to do that. Why would you do that to a child? Am I that much of an evil person? Hopefully you know me well enough to understand it's your pride. If you are going your direction, it's fine, but you just can't be part of the leadership team. You follow me? I don't mind if you come to church, and it's okay. And maybe you need time to sit and look and say, okay, this is the direction they're going. Okay, it's healthy. It's a healthy environment. It's not toxic. It's a room where people can go and meet about Christ and learn about God, and I can grow in my marriage. I can grow and strengthen my family. Okay, this is healthy. Maybe you need to see that. I'm okay with that. I just want you to understand that when ministries collapse, when marriages collapse, it's because of a small seed of pride. The Bible talks about destruction, right? I don't remember which one it was. Proverbs 11:12, you have it? I think it's that one. Proverbs 11:12? No? It's okay. It's the third point. Maybe the first one. Oh, I'm in the third point. Pride leads to destruction. My bad. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Is that the right one? That's the verse I gave you, right? Oh, that's the first one. There you go. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Sorry, in my notes, I just have the verses. I don't have the references. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Obadiah 1, chapter 1. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the what? Ground. Next. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith who? The Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:12, and we'll bring this to a close. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he what? Self-confidence without God is what brings a lot of marriages down. It's what brings a lot of churches down. It's what brings a lot of Sunday schools down. It's what brings a lot of families down. Self-confidence without God. It's called pride. That's what that is. Satan did it. A lot of kings did it. And guess what? In our modern day, that's all what we're about, right? Selfies, the duck face. No, they even do it like with the pose. I can't bend my neck. Limited mobility. Amen. I had neck surgery. But it's all about us. How many followers? I think Brother Benjamin introduced me. What is it? Clickbait? Thank you, Brother Benjamin. Amen. He said clickbait. I don't know. Clicks, I guess, to get clickbait. I don't know. But he's like, clickbait. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Amen. But we're focused on how many followers, right? We're focused on who liked it. We're focused on self-image. We're focused on public appeal. I'm not saying, you know, take a picture of yourself in pajamas waking up at, you know, early in the morning. I don't know what time you wake up. Amen. Not brushing your teeth and your hair everywhere. Bedhead. I'm not saying do that either. All I'm saying is don't let that be a priority in your life where you're just thinking about self. Because again, self-confidence without God, that's what it is. It's pride. We get to this place where we become so convinced of our judgment that we ignore advice. The safest place in life is just to be dependent on God. That's called humility, submitting to God. Brother, were we talking about that earlier, Brother Nickerson? You know, we've gotten in places where sometimes we're discussing finances, right? And I've been in situations where we're like tapping into, you know, life savings, you know, 2020, 2019, COVID hit. And we're tapping into that resource, right? And we're more human, right? That's just our default. We're starting to worry. We're starting to doubt. We're like, oh, man, all that's, right, depleting. But you know what? Thank God we had that. Thank God it was there for such a time as this, right? Yeah, but we're going to be without. But thank God that we're not right now. And the same way that he allowed us to grow that, this is your past now. We're in the present. Guess what? We'll be able to do it again if we depend on God. That's the hardest thing to do. That's the hardest thing to do. Nobody plans to ruin their marriage. No one plans to destroy their testimony. Nobody plans to lose their family. Nobody plans to lose their ministry or their integrity. But this is where the pride comes in. It won't happen to you. Don't listen to that pastor. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Pride is like that warning light. You know that oil change, that light that comes on the dashboard? Amen? That's what pride is, the dashboard, in the dashboard of life. It's that warning sign, pride. We're going to destruction. You say, pastor, for what? Your soul. When a man begins trusting himself more than God, guess what? He's falling already. You want to know what the cure for pride is? We'll be preaching on that at 11:15. Amen? But I'll give you a little tad bit. James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you.